Welcome back to the FMV Sequence. I am Jordan Pritchard, and this is one of our little mini video game movie news episodes. Today I'm joined by our producer, Ben Anderson.
What up, what up, what up? How we doing tonight?
Okay. And rare, I don't know, occurrence, Tyler's on a mic.
Hey! I'm back from the gulag, finally.
Yay!
Actually, I'm pretty sure you were at a beach volleyball tournament.
Oh, that's true. You're a beach
volleyball tournament. Yeah, I got trapped in the sand pit, so...
I mean, we could tell because you're all hot and sweaty.
Mm. Yeah, I've got sand in my asshole, so... I kind of regret saying that now.
Why?
I don't know.
It's not the first time.
Man. Yeah.
And it won't be the last time. Yeah. That's why they call you Tyler Sandy Ass McGee. What's your last name? Lurch. There it is.
So, Jordan, what are we talking about today?
Well, it's been kind of... I'm going to say it's been a dry month a little bit for video game movie news. Because there hasn't been any news for movies, but there have been a few for TV shows. Hello, Mr. Airplane. How are you doing? So, I guess the biggest... I'm going to go ahead and say it's the biggest TV little teaser that's come out.
That's for Hunt Showdown, right?
No, that's not the big one.
Ben, what the fuck? You spoiled the episode.
But we'll start with
it's
that
It's going to be in the fucking description. What are you talking about?
Script? What script?
I said description. It's going to be the episode description.
It's
Link
true.
In bio.
Ah, fair enough.
People know what's happening. Kitty, don't step on that.
Yeah.
Well, let me pull that up. Ben, I forgot to do that.
I totally derailed you, didn't I?
A little bit, yeah.
I'm so sorry. You could have just said no and moved on with what you were talking about.
I mean, it's such a short thing that we can just get to it. Why do I like so
Oh,
well,
so we're going to leave them in suspense for the not as important one, right?
No, this will just get all cut into where it makes sense. And
no, I'm leaving it all in.
Time can do so.
This is a minute. We don't edit these.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I did the shit out of the last one.
We just release it as is. I think you don't understand the true essence of a mini.
Well, apparently I didn't save it. So Hunt Showdown, which is a... kind of a free battle royale, free for all. No, it's not free. A battle royale, free for all, set in cowboy times, in the swamps of Louisiana, where you are tasked with hunting down bounties from big monsters, while also not being killed by other people. For some reason, that's getting a TV show. I don't know the specifics of it. They just tweeted the other day, "Hey, we're making a live action show," so. Fingers crossed, it's either going to be cool or it's going to suck. So,
I think it's a really interesting concept for a TV show, honestly. And I think the game's idea fits a short form content really well, honestly. The cat on the TV. but I mean, like, you introduced me to Hunt. We played it together a couple times, and I really enjoyed it. And I think the atmosphere of it will really serve short form. It'll keep it interesting. I mean, there's a varying amount of monsters and creatures, like the dogs, zombies, the various mini bosses and actual bosses that you face, other players.
Yeah.
Which I'm interested to see how they kind of implement.
I'm wondering if it's going to be kind of just like the Walking Dead kind of show, where it's like people surviving in a swamp, Louisiana. And then there's like... There are, like, the legendary hunters that are, like, characters that they've created. Like, there's, like, a marshal and a sheriff and some other, all sorts of different people, beast hunter and stuff. So, they'll probably take, like, a couple of those that actually have backstories to them, because I guess a few of them do. I've never read it, because it's not that kind of game for me. But they'll probably have them be the main character, and then it's just them, like, trying to go about whatever business they're doing, and maybe... the hunters that they fight will be like, you know, the other characters, but they just won't like have a lot of dialogue or whatever. It'll just be cool firefights. And as long as like there's a firefight happening and then also like a zombie comes and like is hitting you with like a butcher's knife and making you bleed out and pissing you off. Cause you're like, I'm really focused on this guy that's shooting at me, but thank you AI, lowest tier AI for hitting me in the back right now.
They need to implement the crow somehow.
I bet they will. I bet that's not hard.
So for those of you who don't know, in the game while you're playing, when you're going through a certain area, if you come across a flock of crows that are on the ground, if you disturb them or draw attention to them somehow, they can alert nearby zombies and I think monsters, as well as other players, to your location or your kind of general vicinity. So it's something that you really have to look out for. So,
and sound in general, like that game, if you're looking for a game that scratches the itch of perfectly crafted sound, mm-hmm. it's Hunt Showdown.
The gun sounds are very, very pleasing. The environmental gun sounds.
Yeah, there's sound traps everywhere, like stepping on glass, hitting chains, lets people know like where you're at, and it's very like, situational. Like, I can hear somebody running around in the mud. You know, I'm on the second floor of this barn. I can hear somebody in the mud behind me. So I'm like looking out for them. Maybe I use the sound to like toss a grenade down and blow them up. So as long as the sound, maybe it'll just be a show, not even a show. Maybe it'll be a radio show. That's what it should be. Just sound.
That'd be an interesting concept.
It'd be a ballsy concept, that's for sure.
Did you have a question, Ben?
No, I was just going to say that I think that from what little I know about this game, I think it has a very cool world that you can explore with the, like the Louisiana Bayou setting with the fun like monsters and stuff like that. Like I could almost see it being like a Monster of the Week type show. I think where the show is really going to have to shine is like with characters. Like they're really going to have some fun and interesting characters, which I think you can do with like Monster Hunters and stuff. Like that's what they're called, right? Just Monster Hunters?
Yeah, I mean, basically. They're yeah. just or like Bounty Hunters.
Like, Bounty Hunters, yeah. Like you can make some really interesting characters. And I feel like you don't even have to try that hard because the world is
and they have doing... they have quite a few, like I said already, like in their legendaries.
Yeah.
Like nothing they have is... like licensed or anything, it's mm-hmm. all their own created people. But I think that this is a kind of a perfect game to franchise off of, just because it's so broad. Like,
yeah,
it's not like lore heavy. Like, there's lore to why Louisiana is the way it is and who these characters are and their motivations, but it's also just like, the way that the gameplay works is it's not reliant on you knowing who the story, like I don't know any of the characters, any of the yeah. story. I just go in, pretend to be a cowboy and shoot zombies
which
in
is,
the face.
Which is that kind of, for like game wise, that's what you want. But like the world is like, has a really strong foundation when it comes to world building. Like it's solid. It's a really clear premise. You know exactly what you're doing as soon as you hop into it. Which means that it's going to be easy to, which I also think that's why they started, like, they greenlit a show for this, because it's really easy to get behind the premise of this show.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, where it comes in is, like, is it going to have fun action sequences? Are the monsters going to look cool? Are the characters going to be fun to be around? Like, that's what they got to focus on. And I feel like that'll be pretty easy. But, you know, if you ever listen to this podcast, you know that people fuck that up a lot. So, yeah, no, I'm not going to rule anything out, but
yeah,
you know, I feel like out of all of the stuff we talked about, this is probably going to be one of the easier things that you can turn into, especially a TV show. You can make this into a super successful TV show.
At the same time, I think this is also one of those that's the easiest to just absolutely shit all over. And it just,
very true.
They're just like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then you're just like, oh, I don't want this. And let's yeah. just erase it from existence. So,
yeah, you know, at the very least, it'll probably just be a fun watch through.
Yeah. I mean, I got fingers crossed. Yeah. We'll see what happens in the future.
I am kind of hopeful that it's similar, not exactly the same as like the couple seasons in The Walking Dead where the whole group was in the prison.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? I know that it was a super... not necessarily lore heavy, but like character building
mm-hmm.
heavy couple seasons. But I really enjoyed the environment they were in. And it really, that was the turning point in the show where it was like, walkers are dangerous, but they're not super dangerous, which yeah. is kind of the same in this game. Because I mean, like, the zombies by themselves are not super dangerous. It's the bigger mini bosses that you have to look out for. Mm-hmm. But the zombies cause a lot of little issues, like, alerting zombies can alert mini bosses, or if you have too many zombies on you, it can maybe, if a player sees a zombie walking in a direction pretty purposefully, it's like, oh shit, there's another player there. I'm gonna go kill yeah. him so I can claim his stuff. So,
did you guys? You probably didn't. Did you guys ever play the Back for Blood game?
I played the beta.
Okay. Yep, beta. So, did you ever play the multiplayer part of it, like the zombies versus survivors thing?
No.
Uh-uh.
Okay, so it actually had kind of a really cool feature, which was. So it kind of like Left 4 Dead, where you can play as like just like the iconic like actual like mini bot, like the
you know, Slimer or Smoker or Tank or stuff like that. I'm blanking on some of the names. They had the similar thing too, but the other thing that you could do with every successive round, you could upgrade the Horde, which is just the normal zombies. And what we found out when I was playing with my friends is that if you just put all of your points into the Horde, like, they are unstoppable. Like, it was one of those things where, like you don't even have to put points into the actual, like, monsters that you can play as. You just do the Horde because, like, they can become so distracted that you can just, like, do one of your hits to them and then they'll go down because they're just so scared. Just, it's just hundreds of zombies on there. And so I just, that just made me think of that. It was a little bit of a tangent, but.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was actually pretty. Yeah. It was actually pretty fun. It was a pretty cool mechanic because you did it in like a round system, and you beef it up every round, and then they would get beef ups too. So it was cool.
Sounds OP.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else is OP?
What?
The other TV show that came out this week.
I was about to start singing the theme song, but I know that we can't do that.
do you know the theme song to League of Legends?
No, you son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah, because I don't know anything about League of Legends, but apparently they have a TV show on Netflix now called Arcane.
Hmm. I saw the teaser for the trailer, like when you're swiping by on Netflix and it just automatically starts playing shit. And from the little bit I saw of that, it looked dope.
It looks cool. Like, I'm interested in Riot Games. The problem is that they're all on PC, and the only two that have like a card game that I don't care about. They have League of Legends, I don't care about. They have
Valorant,
which I would love to play, but again, it's only on PC.
It's pretty great.
And they're supposed to be working on a fighting game right now, so I'm really hoping that they're getting closer to that, because if I could play a fighting game, that'd be pretty cool. So I might watch the show just to understand anything about the world of League of Legends, because the only thing that this synopsis on IMDb says is, set in utopian Piltover and the oppressed underground of Zaun, the story follows the origins of two iconic League champions and the power that will tear them apart, which means absolutely nothing.
Fantasy names are dumb.
Yeah, for sure. Piltover? Yeah. I don't know what any of that means. It looks like they kind of similar art style to Overwatch, and I liked the Overwatch shorts, so.
Yeah. Is it, so it sounds like it's not just like, because I don't know anything about League of Legends either, and I don't know if there's even a story to League of Legends, but like, it sounds like they're just taking that world and they're putting a story in it rather than just telling the story of that world.
It looks like, based off some of the other little tidbits of information, it's like a prequel setting up some of this stuff, and that it's just focusing on a couple, because there's like dozens of characters at this point. Like, it's been going for so long. And it's just taking like a few of the characters from the game and doing a story, which is interesting. I'm wondering if that means like every season will be like a different setup of heroes. So,
or is it going to be like the main character is like isn't a hero, but they want to be a hero, and then along the way they learn that the power was inside of them all along.
Yep, it's just like that movie Onward, the Disney movie Onward.
Yeah,
it's just like that.
I still have never watched that.
It's not good. Don't worry about it.
Okay,
that's okay.
It's
crazy because that movie had probably the most potential, and it's just average.
No, so now that we've gotten the two useless ones out of the way, the one that's actually the big one, the one that is kind of relevant due to what came out this week.
What came out this week?
The Halo Infinite multiplayer.
Oh, so what are we talking about?
The Halo TV show, which. Okay. They just had like a little 30-second teaser for it. Shows Master Chief scarred up back and him putting on the armor. The I would say classic armor, but it has looked so different since the classic days that
yeah,
I guess the new classic. But I was just looking at the... Oh, and then it has Cortana's voice at the end. It's just like, what's up, Chief? So let's... I don't know when it's supposed to be set.
I have a little... blurb. You want me to read it?
Yeah.
It just says, Halo is an upcoming American live-action military science fiction television series based on the Halo video game franchise. The series will focus on the 26th century war between the United Nations Space Command and the Alien Covenant.
So it's probably set before the events of the first Halo, but after the events of Reach.
Yeah, did you guys ever watch the Forward Unto Dawn thing?
Yes.
And all the other stuff of it was like the beginning. So like Forward Unto Dawn is like basically the first time that we come across the Covenant. Because before that, like apparently the UNSC, like they were fighting insurrections on different planets and stuff like that. And they were just like militias trying to, because basically all these planets, these colonizers are trying to, you know, gain independence. How dare they do all that stuff. And so the whole thing is like you're following this like rookie squad, and then all of a sudden it was like a horror film, like the lights go dark, people just start dying, they don't understand, and then you're just seeing these gigantic shadows in the darkness and these like plasma lights, and it's a whole thing where it's just like they try to really spookify it, and then I think because like it's been a minute, but like the one thing I remember from that movie specifically is when they come up against what are the big blue dudes?
Elites.
The
brutes.
The brutes. The big blue ones with like the spikes on the back where you have to shoot their spine in order for them to die.
Oh, the hunters.
Hunters. Yes. Maybe hunter. Man, so many names. But there's one where like he just comes charging out of the mist and just chasing them, and he just plows into one of the rookies that I don't remember. But anyways, it was pretty cool. But that was the whole thing where like that it basically sets up, and I think the Master Chief has like a brief cameo in the end. He just shows up and saves the day, and he's like, "You too can be like me one day."
Yeah, I plan on covering that at some point because I've seen it once. I believe when I watched it, it was a web series, and so it was like split up into smaller episodes, and so it didn't get good for a while.
The only reason I watched it was because it came free with the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah, wasn't it?
And you had to download a specific app that was a Microsoft streaming service app that I don't even remember the name of, that probably doesn't even exist anymore, in order to watch it. It was dumb.
I can't remember if it was promotional for 3 or 4, but one of those two.
I thought it was for Reach.
I don't think so. Because have you ever read any of the Halo novels?
No.
When I was in middle school, I was obsessed with Halo. Like, Halo was one of my big games for a long time. So it's really odd that I just don't care about it anymore. Because, like, 1 through Reach were, like, my games. I got so into it that I read the books. The first book was called The Fall of Reach. And it was the beginning of the Spartans from when Master Chief was 6 years old to the beginning of the first Halo game. It talks about him being, like, 14 years old and him and his squad going and killing an entire like mutinous pirate crew as on their journey of becoming like super soldiers. Their first interactions with the Covenant, what the Spartans were like before they got the technology for the shields and the armor. It was very interesting. And then I read the novelization of the first book or the first game, which was really weird.
Why is that?
Because it had like a whole secondary perspective of an elite and a grunt that were like tasked with hunting down the Master Chief. And then it also has in between like what's actually happening in the levels of the game. There was like, because when you play the game, you think that's just like a nonstop sequence, what's happening. But in the book, it's like, well, after this mission, Master Chief goes back to forward operating base and takes a nap. and you're like, oh, okay. And then there's a book right after that one that I had to watch. I think it was called, it can't be First Contact, but I think it might have been. And it was how Master Chief got from the destroyed Halo back to Earth for Halo 2. Because I was just like, when Halo 2 came out and it was like Master Chief just on Earth, you're like,
he's getting an award.
Yeah, you're like, how the hell did that happen?
Yeah.
And so I had to know that. And then as time progressed, I slowly stopped caring about Halo. So Reach is my favorite Halo game. That one, yeah, that's rules.
Fair. Well, I don't really have much of a perspective on Halo. I played through, I want to say, 3's campaign in like one night with one of my friends, because I think in Halo you could play co-op through the campaign, couldn't you?
Yeah.
So I did that. I mean, I didn't understand what we were doing. I was just like, oh, bing, bang, shoot, shoot, drive car, go. I was like, all right, lit. And I was like 12 at the time. So I was like, oh, this is awesome. But I mean, like, I was a PlayStation boy my entire childhood. Just because it was what we had in the house. So I didn't really have much of a connection to it. And I mean, like, I feel like for a lot of Halo players, this is really exciting. kind of similar to how I'm excited to see how the Uncharted series is adapted to a film. So yeah. I think it's really interesting, and I mean, like, I wouldn't be opposed to watching it. So
I think it's interesting that they are having Master Chief be the main character. I feel like it's one of those sins of modern nostalgia grabs where it's like the most popular person, we're going to do that.
I mean,
it's
yeah, like, that's, I mean, it, yeah, that's not surprising.
I mean, that's like Han Solo, you know, Solo to me. It's like, it does, the story doesn't need to have this person's face. It needs. And also, speaking of the person that they cast as.
Dude, I'm looking Master at this Chief cast list right now. I don't recognize anybody in it.
Also, oh, why is Master Chief bald? I never thought about him being bald.
I think he just so has, like, confused. I think he just has like the military shave, doesn't he?
Well, he's probably got the military shave, but also like their bodies. So at a very young age, like maybe like pre-puberty or at puberty is when they started going through like Horth. I almost had a fart of hair on that one. like health hormones? No, growth hormones. Growth, that's what they're called. Yeah, to like make them bigger and stronger. They also have been like augmented with like cybernetics to go along with like their suits that they're in. So it's like they were taken as children, taught how to kill, and then physically went through this like metamorphosis into being what is now a Spartan. And whenever they took them, I think there was 300 kids. And I think by the time that they had gone through the full process, there was like 50 Spartans.
So they're like space witchers.
Shit.
Yeah, basically. Except it's like way more. It's kind of like the clones in Star Wars, yeah, where it's just like some of them got like fucked up beyond repair. And so it's just like, well, they still have the mind for battle. So they just became like battle tacticians.
Mm-hmm.
But then like they didn't really do a whole lot. They just sat on the bridge of a ship and.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Well, they would probably be in the lead, so people would be aye, aye, Captain. Then.
Go do this. Aye, yeah, aye, Captain.
But, yeah, it's interesting. I wonder if that means it's going to, like, lead up to the point of Reach, because Reach happens right before Halo 1 kicks off, and Reach is kind of, like, the big turning point of, like, humans thinking they're going to lose the war, so.
Hell yeah, it sounds really interesting. Honestly.
Oh, but the guy that you said you didn't recognize anybody. I mean, the guy that is playing Master Chief has been in a lot of movies and TV shows. The one that I can say is probably the most iconic for him is in the TV show Orange is the New Black on Netflix. Okay. He was one of the prison guards, which they called Porn Stash. He was like the guy that wasn't the good prison guard. He was a bad guy. He usually plays kind of questionable roles, like not usually a good guy. He's also in this movie called Den of Thieves, which is probably Gerard Butler's best movie he's ever been in. It's a heist movie.
He was in 13 Hours. That's where I thought I recognized him.
Yeah. That's probably the only role he's ever been a good guy in.
Yeah.
And then
so is the person who's playing Cortana in this like the voice of Cortana?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I don't remember her name.
That's her, and also she's Zoe in Last of Us, and
oh, okay.
She does all voice acting for a ton of different things.
So.
Yeah.
I mean it's cool that they kept her. I was afraid that like that, cuz I feel like with her being just like the voice being the main part of her,
oh,
like,
there's no way that they would have done anybody else. I mean Microsoft has, there's a whole Cortana like Siri kind of.
Yeah.
Thing, so
I mean, but they also didn't cast Mario, the voice of Mario, to play Mario.
That's not so. The same company. And
I'm just saying, like, Halo, it's not out of the question.
Halo would not, like, Microsoft would not make that mistake. They're like, anybody can be Master Chief. There's only one Cortana. There has only ever been one Cortana, so they're not going to make a Nintendo makes mistakes. All the time.
And we still give them.
That's not even a question.
We still give them all our money.
I mean, just look at their current gen console, aka 2 gen ago technology. It's rough.
And it's still one of the best selling handhelds, like, of all time. So
I'm not saying it's not.
I know. I'm just saying that's that, like that's the irony of it. It's like, yeah, they will give us whatever they want and we will gladly shell out money for
it. It's a giant PSP.
That's just,
yeah. Yeah. And the games that are on it, it's like, man, I can't wait to watch another game I love run really shittily on this handheld.
Have you seen it? Have you watched gameplay of like The Witcher on it?
No.
It's so bad. It is so bad, especially like when you're like doing it handheld. Port, like when you're docked, it's okay. It's still not going to be as close to like even like a PS4 and Xbox One, but it's terrible handheld.
I mean, I feel bad for anybody that bought Mortal Kombat 11 for the Switch because,
yeah,
one, it's graphically worse, and two, it's not hitting 60 frames per second, so I don't know how you're doing anything in that game. Just kind of guessing on frame data, but...
But yeah, I don't know about this show. Like, I mean, I'm sure it'll be okay at least, but like, you know, the fact that it's like streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus has me a bit worried. Like, it's like going straight to that site, which I don't know the numbers for that site. I can't imagine it being super great, but
I don't think it's terrible.
Because I mean, it's one of the bigger ones just because of their properties that they have. You know, I know that like the Star Trek shows are doing okay on there, but like, I don't know. Maybe like this will pull people into that app. I mean, I'm thinking about doing it just to watch this, but I'll wait and see until we see more of it because we literally have no information other than like an image of his back and the helmet being put on.
Yeah, I'm surprised we even got that teaser. So
I'm curious if it's going to go in the direction of like a Mandalorian kind of thing where they don't show his face for the entirety of the show except for like
show his face. Like, I mean, you've never, like, the only reason... No one has ever seen his face in the games. Like, they've never shown it. There's been, like, they've tried to do things where, like, you know, you take the camera in and, like, look at his face in the games and it doesn't work. Where, like, reflections, sometimes there's been, like, minor reflections.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing about it is it's just, it's not going to be, it doesn't matter because his face isn't, he hardly even talks. Now, that's the other problem about the newer Halos is he talks too much. He never talked before. It was just, like, maybe 10 lines in the whole first Halo game. And now it's just like, I have all these questions I'm going to ask constantly. No, Master Chief, you don't get to ask questions. You know everything.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. I mean, I don't have a problem with it because I love the sound of his voice. It's just so, there's something about it.
But it won't be his, it won't be that voice.
You know what, Jordan? Way to crush on my dreams.
That's what I'm here for.
Well, what if they never take off the helmet and then they just have the voice actor doing it?
That would be interesting. I don't know why you would spend the money on this actor.
I don't know. I mean, he's not like a big name actor.
He's worth more than, you know.
I mean, Grant, you're right, but you know.
But
it's not like they're throwing like Jake Gyllenhaal under that helmet.
They're also in the cast list. There's a bunch of other. I'm wondering if he's not really like a main focus because there are a lot of Spartan names in here that have never been said before. And none of them are part of Master Chief's like squad. So there's no Kelly or Fred.
Yeah, I don't know what they're like. It'll be interesting to see like what they do. Like if they're going to do it at the start and like what if they focus on like what if they're like are they Spartans or are they ODSTs?
They would be Spartans.
Spartans, okay.
Because they have the designation of like the call sign and everything. And then, but there's also different generations of Spartans. So, like, Master Chief is part of the Spartan 2 program.
Mm-hmm.
And then Spartan 3s were, like, I don't know if they've gone further with this, but one of the books was called Ghosts of Onyx. And it was, Onyx was another human world where they were training Spartan 3s, which were, again, like, teenagers. And the thing about, like, their units is it wasn't about, like, the shields and like being shot at a lot. It was about stealth. So like there was all about the invisibility. But again, they were like 14-year-olds.
What are the Spartans in 5? Cause they're not Spartan 2s, are they?
No. Cause one of them is Nathan Fillion, but his character Buck. And, they're probably Spartan 4s or 5s. I don't remember. I played that game once. I was like, this game sucks. But yeah, he was ODST, and then it's Orbital Drop Shock Trooper, and then...
thank you for that.
Yeah. What are they called? Helldivers?
I don't remember. I've only played ODST once. So.
That game rules. That one's good. But yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. Hopefully it's good. Probably...
It's going to be okay. I don't think it's going to be groundbreaking or anything like that.
It's going to be like the rest of these.
As I was say, Perron, like, this thing has been in development hell. Like, they've been trying to get a Halo show made for years. So, you know.
It's fitting that it came out, the teaser for it, the same week as the multiplayer.
They definitely did that on purpose. I think that's why you said that you're surprised that they released something. They released something because it's the 20th anniversary of Halo.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's like the only reason they were, because they have to get something out to the people to get people, keep them getting excited for this.
Yeah, it's hard to get excited about Halo anymore.
I know, you're a jaded old man.
True.
You've been hurt too many times.
What are we doing on time?
30 minutes.
Mm. All right. That means we have the perfect amount of time for the final segment of our mini episodes.
So, my bone popping ASMR? So.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I thought you said boner. Is that the whole theme? We're going to start with Tyler because he never gets to do this.
He didn't say what the segment was.
Well, I was about to.
Okay.
The segment is, what are you playing right now?
That's a good question. I've been bouncing between 3 or 4-ish games, I think. I've been playing 2042 because it came out a couple days ago.
Battlefield?
Mm-hmm. It's been pretty all right. I have some gripes with the user interface. Like, they're supposed to... Sorry, excuse me. I just, like, coughed up.
Sorry.
That was a wet one, too.
Yeah. But, I have some gripes with the, not necessarily a battle pass system, but like there's no clear way to see what you get from progression.
Hmm.
Because everything is split up in these tiny little menus, which is fine, but at the same time. And it's like still not counting a lot of the kills I get for gun progression or vehicle progression or anything like that. So the progression system is still kind of confusing for me. But otherwise, I still enjoy the gameplay. I still get some weird glitches occasionally, but I mean, it just released a couple days ago after pre-release access. So I don't know. I'm content with it at the moment, but I really hope they improve it.
Because you're playing on PS4, right?
Yep.
How's it run?
It runs pretty okay.
Yeah.
Load times are a little long sometimes, but it's not too bad.
I was interested in that because I didn't know what, because I've been thinking about getting it. I just don't know what to get it on, you know?
It's nowhere near as bad as trying to load maybe GTA, which is surprising because, I mean, like, the load times in between screens is long, going into buildings is long.
Like, but in 20... drops, like frame drops when you're, like, in-game or anything like that?
Not that I've noticed. Okay. I mean, that's like, good. Even when there's a ton of gunfire on, it's fairly smooth.
That's really good.
The graphics are not fantastic on PS4, I will say that, unless you're playing on a PS4 Pro or a PS5.
You know,
but I mean, I'm playing on like first, second gen base model PS4. So,
I mean, at least it runs great still. Like, it's still playable. Like, that's nice.
Yeah. And I mean, like, in a game like Battlefield, graphics don't matter to me
as much as like the interactions within the world and stuff like that.
Yeah. As long as all the mechanics work, which so far they do, I haven't found anything that's completely broken. So,
okay. One more. I'm sorry. I don't want to keep getting it. How's the tornado thing? The
whole tornado thing? I actually
like
haven't
like the world destruction. Like, I've seen, that's the only thing I've seen from this game is just the tornado going through the fucking world. So like, how's that?
It's kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know how in Battlefield 4, almost every building on a map was destructible.
Yes.
That is not the case here.
Really?
Yep. The destructibility of a lot of buildings is not there. And I don't know if that's something that they were running low on time for, if they're running on a different engine, but like, that's my one gripe, because I mean, like, in previous games, you could be in a tank and you could drive into a building and drive a tank into a building and claim a conquest point, right?
Yeah,
that's kind of like the thing about Battlefield. You use your tools that you have to take advantage. Can't really do that as you normally would in this game.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I've also been playing Red Dead 2.
Yeah.
As known. Playing Black Ops Zombies occasionally, just as kind of a time passer. And then Fallout 4. I actually started revisiting it last month And I've been playing and playing and playing, and I'm actually really enjoying it. I'm starting to get to that peak point where I'm like, I'm getting bored with this.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I get that way with Fallout, especially because, like, I hate to say this, but everything looks the same.
It's true. Yep.
Everything is super drab. Everything is gray or, like, puke green or orange. And it's just like, I understand this is supposed to be post-apocalyptic, but it's kind of irritating because there's no variance in environments. There's not a snow biome. At the most, you go from, like, maybe a kind of green area to a city area. Oh no, you're in the glowing sea, which is a really sandy area, kind of, but it's more, it's just where the nuclear blast happened, so a lot of shit is just dead.
So. Nukes are bad, okay?
Yeah.
Ben, what are you playing?
So I found a great placeholder game until, because I'm waiting until winter break to get like the bunch of the new games, because I've been really wanting to get Guardians of the Galaxy, Far Cry 6. Like, I really want to play those games. I just don't have the time. So in the meantime, I've been playing Forza Horizon 5. I got really into the Forza games when I got my PC and I got access to Game Pass. Like, I played I put a ton of hours into 4, which is still a great game, by the way. And I really loved that. So, like, as soon as 5 came out, like, I, like, downloaded it the night of and been playing it ever since. And the thing that I love about this game the most is that I'm not much of a car person. Like, I don't know a whole lot about cars. And the beauty of Forza Horizon is that you don't have to enjoy that game. Like, they made a really good job of making it really fun to drive the car for anybody of any skill set. Now, like, there are tools in place if you really want to get technical and get really, like, in-depth into, like, customization and, like, engine tuning and stuff like that. You can do that, but also you can just get in whatever the fuck car you want and just drive around in this open sandbox and just have a good time. And so that's fun. Like, the driving of it is fun. But then this game is really good at hitting the dopamines in my brain, because they give you tasks. Like, the way it's set up is that there are different types of races and stunt races, and like you have your open races, street races, like cross country, you have your dirt, like just stunts, all that kind of stuff. And like, they've split it up to where you can focus on any one at a time, and you can like divide your map into that. And so that's great. And so then I just have all these little races that I just keep going to, and then I'll go do a race. But then at the end of every race, as long as you do well, you get a wheel spin to get new cars and get new customizations and stuff like that. And it's basically just gambling, but it's designed in such a way that it just hits my brain in the right spot, and I'm addicted to it. And that's all I did today before I came here, as I've just been playing Forza and just doing the wheel spins and just getting all the challenges and doing stuff like that. So the gameplay is fun. I mean, there's like over 550 cars so far, and each one of them is customizable, and you can do whatever the fuck you want to it. Like, I completely, I found my dad's old truck in there, and it runs like shit in the game, base model, so you can like transmorgify it and basically put a new engine and do a bunch of other stuff, and it's so much fun. But anytime I turn, I flip. Like, it can't drive on like on pavement at all, and it's just a death trap. And so I love just sending videos to my dad and just like fucking destroying the shit out of it. It's a lot of fun. So that has pretty much held up my attention from now up until probably finals week.
Wow, I couldn't think of something more boring.
Fuck you, Jordan. What the fuck are you playing, Jordan?
Well,
let me guess. MK.
No, I mean, I still play it a little bit every now and then, but
he just has to get his daily. So.
Pretty much. pretty much all my games now are just like little daily task things. Like, I go into Red Dead and do a couple things to grind. But the big things that I've been into, I got into the stress test beta for Elden Ring. And so I wanted to play way more of that, but they had really odd times, like 3 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the morning, 2 days, like it went over 4 days. Two of the times were that 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. and the other two were 9 to midnight. So due to my schedule, I didn't get a whole lot to play in it, but I got to kick around a little bit. Really excited. I'm a Dark Souls fan. It feels like Dark Souls, but like fancy Dark Souls. I fought like a couple tiny bosses, that I was like, ooh, this is going to be hard. And it was kind of easy. And then I found one of the big bosses, and he was very hard. And then I got attacked by a dragon, and I was too scared to go back. So I I just let him do his thing.
No, you just got to let dragons breathe, man.
Pretty much. But yeah, so I just got to explore that a little bit, and that's kind of... I think I'm probably about to fall into a Dark Souls rabbit hole, because the next thing was, I was like, you know what? I should give Jedi Fallen Order another chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I loaded it back up, and I was about halfway through, and I finished it, and I was like, this game sucks. It's not a good game. So, I don't know. I might finish trying to get the platinum for that one, just because it's a Star Wars game, and like, it's cool as a Star Wars game, but like, as a Souls clone, it's booty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't enjoy any of the boss fights. They're not fun.
No, they're just... you have to find each little trick. It's so irritating.
Yeah. I wish that was the case, because that's how Dark Souls is. Dark Souls is finding, like, okay, this attack I can parry. This attack I can dodge roll. And, like, figuring out what the pattern is, and they tell you. Well, in this game, it's like, when they glow red, you can't block it, so you have to dodge roll. But it doesn't tell you exactly how. Like, it'll be, you know, so then you have to figure out, like, so I can't block this one, but if I dodge roll, I still get hit. And if I backstep, maybe I get hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other attacks where it's like, they're not glowing red, so you should be able to do anything to get out of them. But the hitboxes on their attacks are really wonky.
Yep.
I was fighting this giant bat, and it does this attack where it like launches on the ground, and it like shoots a dirt cloud at you. And so you should, like, that attack, you can jump over the dirt cloud. But if you're too close to the bat, no matter if nothing hits you at all, like the dirt doesn't hit you, the bat doesn't hit you, just its invisible fart box around it will hit you out of your jump. And it's like, that's, I was talking to Cameron, friend of the podcast, has been starting to stream Dark Souls 1. And I was telling him, like, the thing about Dark Souls isn't that it's difficult. It's that it's about learning. It's about mastering. It's about knowing, all right, if I want to get from point A to point B, these enemies are there. This is how you take care of those enemies. It becomes like a rhythmic pattern. But all these Souls clones are just like, let's just make it hard. But Dark Souls is about like frame precision, like knowing that if I dodge roll at this time when they do this attack, that it will go over me and I'll be fine because I know to jump at a certain point. This game does not care about frames or anything at all.
No.
And speaking of, this isn't like a massive game. It's not like super new, and on my PS4 it has frame stuttering all the time, just like running around.
Yep.
And it's just like I would miss jumps on the platforming sections because of it, and it's, what the fuck is this?
It doesn't help that there's some delay on the button inputs occasionally. Like, I had that as a huge issue with trying to dodge roll.
Yeah.
And that was one of my biggest gripes with the game. I also played it when it first came out, before they did a lot of the big patches that fixed the big fight at the end, where like you couldn't really fucking beat it.
No.
Because a lot of the enemy was just too unpredictable, I guess.
It was too unpredictable, and they threw too many of those undodgeable like hits. Yep. Like, that was the whole thing about it, is like you would just get too many like hits. Like, they would, like, you would have nowhere to dodge to, because it was such like a thin corridor type thing. You're talking about like the very last right before once the space shows up to chase you out of the building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like there was like that curved hallway thing, and then like I would just never have anywhere to die. I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'm just gonna get fucking hit again. Like,
mm-hmm.
it also tries to have like the Sekiro like guard break, where like if you hit them enough times, then it breaks their guard, and then, but sometimes that only allows you to get like one hit in.
Yeah,
and you've put in a ton of your stamina to do it.
That's the problem.
So there's no like reward for, sometimes you don't even, and the hit stun pissed me off, because sometimes you would stun them and they would recover before you had recovered from your attack.
Yep.
And then they would punish you for defeating their stamina bar. So it's like, it just really, really sucks to be like, oh my God, I finally can break this guy. And then I'm going to hit him. I'm finally going to hit him with this attack. And then they just turn, block you, and then hit you. And then you lose a huge portion of your health. It was very frustrating. I did not have the greatest time finishing up that game. And it reminded me why I stopped playing from the beginning.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I wonder if they're going to do to fix that. Because, I mean, this is getting a sequel. So I wonder if it's going to actually make improvements that we want to see.
Yeah, well, hopefully they just turn it into just an action platformer game and leave the Dark Souls bits out of it, because it doesn't add anything.
Like that is like definitely going to be part of that game, because like that's part of why this sold so well. Like, I know that people who actually liked, yes, you make that face, Jordan, but that's like was a big selling point of it. Like, I remember a lot of the times, but anybody who was actually really cared about those games like didn't like it. But
yeah, because it's not a good one.
I know it's not. I know. I'm not saying it's not.
This is one of those Dark Souls games for the people that can't play Dark Souls, and they put it in story mode and they're like, "See, I can beat a hard game."
Yep.
Anyway, Jedi Fallen Order sucks. Forza 5 sucks.
How many ponchos did you get? Forza 5 does not suck. I will fucking fight you on it. Just because you don't like car games does not mean it sucks, sir.
God, that's another thing about Fallen Order, like, just the customization aspect of it is just so bland.
What
it's like,
color poncho do you want? Do you want a pink one? Do you want an orange one? Do you want a camo one? Do you want a light camo one? Do you want a navy blue one?
I just didn't wear any of them until I got the one of them from Dothamir.
Yep.
That kind of looks like it's like the body paint of a Zabrak. And I was like, that one's kind of cool.
Yeah, they were all really dumb.
Yeah.
Like, the only cool customization was the lightsabers.
Yeah, and that was also a little, like, that could have been a little bit better. But, I mean, it's probably one of the coolest lightsaber customizations that you've ever been able to put together, so.
Yeah, you know, I think if you're, like, a huge Star Wars fan like we are, like, it's worth playing through that game just to feel like you're in a Star Wars world. But other than that,
the biggest cuck is whenever you, you can use it as like two lightsabers, but it's only like for two. There's only two attacks.
Yep. What the fuck is that?
And you're like, why can't I just have? Yep. I think that would be a thing. Is it's going to make it to where it'll be like single blade, double blade, dual wield.
Yeah, I wonder what they're going to do for the story at that one at that point, because it's like the whole thing is him like rejecting him, like, because it was all about him like trying getting ready to find more Jedi to start his own academy, and then him realizing that like that's not his fate. Too. So, like, I wonder where he's going to go from here.
Well, with Disney and their current cash cow, I bet it somehow ties into Mandalorian.
Maybe.
Or
I don't know. I think they might keep Ahsoka. Him. I think they might keep him doing away from that.
I don't know. Honestly. I feel like they might get it involved with Ahsoka stuff.
Because like the whole thing is like, it's funny because the meta of that is like him realizing that he's not going to open the tome. He's like, you're not important to the story of this world. Like, you're not a big hotshot. Like, you just need to go do your own thing. And so what is his own thing going to be?
The story itself feels like it just plateaus so much.
Yeah.
Because, like, I remembered bits and pieces when I restarted. Like, not restarted, but jumped back into it. And then I just kind of, I had to do all of Dathomir because I didn't go to Dathomir first. So I went to Dathomir.
I didn't, got my ass kicked.
And then did whatever it was to come back and finish that out and then go to the last place. And then it was over. And I was just like, man, like, I can't think of a single time that the buildup was just like, had a payoff, because the end of the game is just like, oh, it's over.
Yeah.
And you're just, wait, that was it?
Yeah.
The last conversation is just like, what do we do now? Credits.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it fucking was.
I was just like, all right. So, weird.
You know.
Weird game. Weird podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about all the time we have for tonight, today, for this listening experience.
Whenever you're listening to this, in the morning, in the evening.
At work, taking a dump.
While you're driving.
Winter, taking a dump.
Spring, summer, or fall.
If you're listening to the FMV sequence, on any of those kind of things, if you're taking a poop, if you're on a drive, if you're on the train or something like that, why don't you take a picture of your setting that you're in, tag us in on Twitter or Instagram or something like that.
That'd be dope.
We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
One of those.
Yeah.
Any of those, really.
Yeah.
Or the contact us on our website.
Yeah. We have a website now.
We do.
What is the name of our website?
The F&B Sequence. I don't remember.
I think so.
It's tied to our anchor. So yeah, just go through our anchor and then go on there. Anchor is more important.
Yeah, we link everything. So why the fuck do we even need to list it?
You we're good at podcasting.
Yep. Yeah. Professional.
Fuck you, Joe Rogan.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for being here today. And thanks for listening. Rate, subscribe, follow.
Come to our live shows.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Last time, you know what's kind of a quinkening? I know we're wrapping up, but
yeah.
When you're hearing this, last week we had a live show, which was Resident Evil Apocalypse. And that same night, Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City came out. It's almost like I planned it.
Yeah.
And
both movies were incredible.
And if you're listening to this, that means you listened last week to our Resident Evil Apocalypse episode.
Holy shit.
Which you should definitely check out.
Guys, we're getting caught up. We're getting current.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for that.
It's so great. All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.